The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. Ron, there is a trend going on in baseball that I think is actually going to be exponentially growing, this idea. The Hartford Yard Goats in minor league baseball, no more peanuts and no more Cracker Jacks at their games. And this is due to now that that we now know more about children's peanut allergies at games where, like, they can't even be around the dust of peanuts. And so the Hartford Yard Goats are not going to put peanuts or Cracker Jacks at baseball games. And I'm wondering if this is going to spread, if this is going to go around to baseball. And now there won't be peanuts and Cracker Jacks at any games. Because when you get to even Major League Baseball, they're like, yeah, well, we don't want to, you know, kill children who come to baseball. And we want them to come to baseball. So no more peanuts and Cracker Jacks for anybody.
What do you do during the seventh inning stretch now?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, say this goes on for a few years, right? You know, no peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I mean, and then when it's time to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, you got to substitute that line.
I think you got to, right?
Because kids are going to be asking, like, Dad, what's peanuts and Cracker Jacks?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody personally that has a peanut allergy, but I've heard it's pretty awful. Like, you can't even, like, it's not like eating a peanut. Like, you can't even be around a peanut.
Yeah, no, I've ran into a few in my time. I've never seen them have the allergic reaction. I remember once, right. My son had a birthday party and the parent dropped their child off, and with it came an EpiPen.
And just she's in like, case?
Yeah, she's like, do you know how to use it? I'm like, I'm going to go Pulp Fiction on him, but sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just stab it in the heart, right?
Yeah, like my wife's allergic to seafood, but she can still go to a restaurant that has seafood. Shellfish. I'm sorry. She's allergic to shellfish. But she can go to a restaurant that has lobster, because the only reason she's only allergic if she ingests it. If she smells lobster, she doesn't break out. But if you have a peanut allergy, like even whiffing a peanut, like if the peanut dust gets in your nose, you could have an attack. And that keeps kids away from ball games. It keeps them away from those roadhouse steakhouses, too, where you eat peanuts and just throw the shells all over the floor.
God,
they can't go to there either. That's the best. Absolutely the best. We'll talk a little bit more about Antonio Brown. He wants out. Where could he go, and what should the Steelers actually do with him? We'll talk about that some more also as we continue to look at the NFL. Kyler Murray could go to the Cardinals. Is that a good idea? Next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could join us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Hey, enter to win a trip to watch Cactus League Baseball in Arizona. It's the SB Nation Radio Spring Training Getaway, and it's presented by Talking Stick Resort, a fantastic place. Winner will receive a two-night stay at the luxurious Four Diamond Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale. Two tickets to see both the Cubs and Rockies and Brewers and Diamondbacks play March 23rd and 24th. 24th at Salt River Fields and a $500 Visa gift card. To keep you rocking and rolling, head to springtraininggetaway.com and enter today. Springtraininggetaway.com. Again, springtraininggetaway.com. You're going to want to enter this. Cactus League Baseball, Grapefruit League Baseball. Getting down to spring training is awesome. And Talking Stick Resort, it is beautiful. You're going to love it. So enter to win, springtraininggetaway.com. Pitchers and catchers reporting all over the place this next few days.
You know, another thing to consider about, you know, that spring training getaway, The weather will be nice.
And the weather will be
doesn't
nice.
Doesn't matter what is going on in the rest of the country. Arizona is beautiful that time of year.
It totally
is. That's literally the only time to go to Arizona.
Earlier, I asked you your biggest success in the NCAA tournament. My five-year-old daughter won my office pool at a sports radio station. And you know why? You know why I'm proud of that? It's not so much her. Like, she wasn't doing analytics or anything like that. She just liked the word UConn. So she kept repeating it over and over again. And they ended up winning the title that year. It was in 2011. But I had a producer. His name was Sean, and he was a good kid, but he was a basketball junkie. I mean, he loved college hoops. I mean, he was the kind of kid that would come in the next day, and I'd be like, "What'd you do last night, man?" He'd be like, "Well, I watched Michigan take on Penn State, and then I watched the WAC St. Mary's again." And like, he was that kind of kid, like watching college, like never had a life, just loved college basketball, watched it all the time. So when the tournament came out, me and my co-host were teasing him because he was spending way too long filling out his bracket. Like, we wanted the brackets turned in at a specific time because we were going to put him in a computer and stuff like that. They had to be in early, and he was taking way too long. And we kept telling him, "Hey, Sean, why don't you get that bracket in?" And he's like, "Well, I'm analyzing every single game." And then when he finally got it done, he said, "I have got the perfect bracket." He goes, he went through like all the stats and matchups, like everything. Like, it took way too long on it. So I laughed at him and I said, "Oh my God, my 5-year-old daughter will beat you." So we brought her in and we had it on film. Because in case anybody thought we were helping her, we had it on film. And I just gave her the teams and she picked whatever she wanted to say. And so we were writing it down. And so we thought this would be fun. It would be her against Sean. Well, we put her in the pool for the entire company. And this was a sports radio station in Denver that had 11 full-time hosts and producers, and there was other, you know, producers. I mean, we had a ton of sports guys in the building, lots and lots of sports people in the building. And she won the whole thing. She won it all. And I remember everybody at the company was like, "We got beat by a 5-year-old, like a 5-year-old. That was my point. But it proved my point, right? You and I probably overthink this.
Oh, easily.
This is one of the reasons why we will lose any office pool. You put me in any office pool in America, I'm likely to lose because I am over analytical. Like, I am, like, I'm afraid to go with an upset because I'm afraid that, like, the team I'm picking to be upset is actually pretty decent and might make a run at the Final Four. And I'm a little worried because I know defensively how good they are, or offensively how good they are. And if they don't get upset at the time that I'm doing it, they could make the big run to the national championship game and I'm X-ing my way all the way through to the finals. So I get a little bit more reluctant. Some of you out there are like, "Yeah, I like the Bulldogs. I like the Bulldogs because I had a buddy went to that school."
Every year, I have a bracket set up just, you know, for my family. You know, my mom, my dad, brothers, significant others.
Right.
Or their significant others, not my many significant others. I just, yeah, I just got the one because she might be listening. but every year we do this. You know, there's a lot of pressure on me because I'm the sports guy.
Yeah, right. And you're going to win this thing.
I got to show up because, you know, it's literally we just do it for bragging rights. And every year, for some way or another, my mom finishes every year. I believe she's finished in the top two.
See, that's perfect.
And, yeah. And I look at him like, you know, she doesn't really study it. She doesn't really. And my stepfather, he you know, he's like, he'll analyze it. He'll break it all down. And because he watches sports all day long and, you know, he's breaking it down like, "Oh, this pundit said this and this pundit said this. I'm going to go this way." And, you know, but my mom just goes, you know, it's like, you know, I have to remind her, like, you know, "Hey, you got until," you know, she lives in California. "So you got until 9 a.m. today to fill out your bracket," and it's usually like 8 o'clock, you know, the bracket submitted. And I'm like, "Okay." And she, I mean, just throws
just
caution
flying
to the wind
through it, right? Exactly.
It's just to get it in so she can be a part of the fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and I, you know, listen, I told Sean not to feel bad because she didn't just beat him. She beat everybody, my daughter. And but I said, listen, she when I was giving
yeah, that always helps. Don't feel bad. You know, she beat me, too.
Yeah. Now she's but a I'm teenager proud of... and she still brings up the fact that she won an office pool.
Of course.
Because, you know, it's the highlight of her life.
Well, she needs to put that on her college resume.
Well, you know, what's cool was that I brought her into the production studio and I basically said, repeat after me and do it in the way daddy says it. And I had her cut a promo where she was giving her pick of the week. She like, call me right now and I'll give you next year's Final Four absolutely free. And I still have this. And it's just this little kid that can barely pronounce these words. And she's like, I'll give you next year's Final Four absolutely free. And I had her do it just like that. Oh, it was killer. It was so good. She's like, I won the tickets basketball pool. I picked UConn to win it all. And they did. I was like, I was milking that for as much as I could. But I was pointing out, I was like, listen, she got lucky. She liked saying the word UConn because she would say UConn, right? That was her thing. So every time I would say, okay, Bradley against UConn, she'd go UConn. And they won the whole thing. I was like, that's how you win. You pick the team that wins it all. If you can do that, that's half the battle right there. It's hard to do, obviously, yeah, but that's half the battle right there.
You have to be relevant that final weekend.
Absolutely. You have can't no doubt, be like, out.
Like last year, I think last year was a miserable year. I mean, I had Virginia going a long way. Who wouldn't, right?
Yeah. right. right. You had Virginia go all the way.
I didn't have him in the Final Four, thank God. But, you know, it didn't really matter because three of my four teams in the Final Four were out by, like, you know, by the Sweet 16.
Exactly.
And so at that point, you're just like, who cares? You know, now I'm just hoping for that one Final Four. You know, there's still a mathematical chance that I can, you know, still win this thing, but it's not going to happen. If you don't have someone playing on the final day, you're not going to win.
Yeah. So UConn won in 2011. That's when she did this. And then the next year, she brings this up today. She goes, well, the next year I got it right, too. I picked Kentucky. And I'm like, everybody picked Kentucky.
Right.
That was Anthony Davis's. I keep reminding her it doesn't count.
Wasn't that
I was
the
like,
year
that doesn't count.
They had like six players
Really, they were really awesome. It was Anthony Davis's year down in Kentucky. Yeah. They were fantastic. I was like, everybody picked Kentucky. So you don't get that. So that's out. So you don't get that one. The UConn pick was actually pretty surprising. I don't know what seed they were, but they weren't like a number one seed or anything like that. That was the year they beat Butler. Remember, that was,
yeah.
Well, it was Butler's second year in a like back-to-back years that Brad Stevens had the Bulldogs in the finals game. But that was the year they
won. Let me ask you this. Have you ever, you know, they don't do it anymore, but I know Warren Buffett used to put up, he said you put up $1 billion for the perfect bracket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you, when you were filling that out, did you spend the money already?
Yeah, of course, right? This is my analytical brain processing this stupid tournament. This is where I go, I got this. I got this. See, I'm the guy. I'm the guy that Tony Bennett and Virginia. I love Tony Bennett, his defensive teams. I would never have Virginia losing in round three, for crying out loud, right? I'm always the guy that's like, oh no, I'll take Virginia deep because that's a great team. So I'm not going to pick UMBC over Virginia. Nobody would. But I'm not the guy that would have Virginia lose like the next weekend or the week. Like I'd have Virginia go to the Final Four. That's my brain. Like, and you know what's funny about that? The one year, like 10 years ago, it was like 2007 or 2008 when we had all number one seeds were in the Final Four.
Yeah, when we had all chalk.
And a guy like me who tends to go chalk a little too much, even I couldn't win that one.
Because your analytical brain will go, God, you know, I can make a point that all four number ones, you know, should do this.
Exactly.
But it's not going to happen. So let me just throw this two in here and ruin the whole thing.
This tournament, I got to be honest with you. This tournament is one of the greatest creations that we have in sports. It's not the best way to determine a champion. It's not what it's supposed to do. This is the big difference between basketball and football on the collegiate level. College football is desperate to find the best team to crown its champion, right? They want so badly. This is one of the reasons why people are like reluctant to expand it to eight because they're like, no, we want the best of the best to win this thing. We don't mind four because it's usually about the amount of teams we got, but we really want the champion to not be a fluke. We want the champion to be the best of the team, like one of the best teams in the regular season and in this tournament. But in college basketball, couldn't care less. Struggling during conference play? Just get in. Struggling during your conference tournament? Just get in. struggling in your first two games of the tournament, but then catch fire? We don't care. We don't care. You beat Duke? Great, fine. Beat Duke. We don't care. Like, we're not looking for the best of the best of the best of the best. We're looking for the best team in this three-week period and roll the dice.
Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, sometimes college basketball gets it right. I mean, UNLV went undefeated, they got it right. That was the best team in the country.
Well, they were fake. Yeah,
but other years, you're looking at like, yeah, well, you know, that team definitely got hot. I feel like that way with every Michigan State team.
All the time.
Every time they're in the final. Hey, they got hot at the right time. Tom Izzo knows how to coach in the tournament. He doesn't know how to coach any other time, but in the tournament, he's good.
I used to tease my wife about one of Florida's championships. I mean, Florida had good teams. Billy Donovan had good teams. But one year they played George Mason in the Final Four and clobbered him. And George Mason had beaten UConn, which I think UConn was the number one seed in their region.
Right, that's when George Mason bracket. Was overextending itself.
Right, exactly. And I said, well, it's easy to win a national title when you have to play George Mason in the Final Four. My wife's like, it doesn't matter. And I go, whatever. Just take it for what it is. So, you know, listen, I mean, of all the things... Of all my sports championships that my teams have won in my lifetime, I think the greatest joy that I've had in sports was when South Carolina beat Florida to go to the Final Four. And they didn't win. They lost to Gonzaga in Phoenix, but I didn't care. Like, I literally watched at the end of that game, I felt incredible. Like, I never in 1,000 years thought South Carolina would go to a Final Four, ever. Like, they're only not a men's basketball team. They're not even, like, the times that they've had good men's teams, they stunk in the tournament. They got beat by Coppin State one year as a 2 seed. They got beat by Virginia as a 3 seed, one of those, something like that. But they got eliminated in the first game when they were a top 5 seed in the tournament. But going to the Final Four, it was the best. It was absolutely the best. And beating Florida was even better. So that was great. And Madison Square Garden, no less. 800-777-2907 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. And at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's, will look at the NFL. If you're Cliff Kingsbury, do you take Kyler Murray? Or do you stick with what you got in Arizona? That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, we'll talk about Cliff Kingsbury and the possibility of him going number one with Kyler Murray, taking Josh Rosen and dumping him off to some other team. Thanks for your 1 year of service, but we're going to go with this kid. But before we do, make your tax refund go farther with O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Can he sell this? Could Cliff Kingsbury sell this as taking Kyler Murray number one overall? I think he can.
I think he can, too. I mean, it takes... I think what he'll need to do, though, is you got to get rid of Josh Rosen. You got to try to get as much as you can for Josh Rosen. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm putting out a call to the Steelers.
Yeah, I am saying, too.
You know
what?
Let me send this young quarterback who has some success, highly touted. Although, you know, a bit of an attitude problem. I don't know if Steelers want another attitude problem, but I think there's enough talent there that you can say, hey, you know what? I will send this plus I will send maybe a fourth round draft pick for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, this is the thing. Look, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're coming into the NFL with a philosophy, right? I mean, you're not just taking a job to take a job, right? You're not going into becoming a head coach at Arizona, doing whatever the general manager wants. You're coming in because you have a philosophy. You have a style, right? You have something that you want to be able to do at the next level. It's one of the reasons why you won that kind of job. So if Kyler Murray fits that better than Josh Rosen, then you should be able to sell that to your management. You should be able to sell that to the GM, and you should be able to sell that to anybody that's asking, because you're saying, look, I wasn't just last man standing, right? I wasn't I'm a guy that is here because I have this specific idea of how my offense is going to work. And I know this kid can do it better than anybody else, right? So it, that becomes a little bit more sellable. Now, the problem is that unless you can get unless you can get something really decent for Josh Rosen, which you probably could, given that he's young, he does have talent. Yes, he did have a bad year his rookie year, but so what? So many people do. And, you know, he's a bit of a head case, but that might come out of maturity. You might get rid of that out of maturity. The reality of it is, you know, Arizona put their faith that this pick that they made last year was the quarterback of the future. That doesn't mean you can't change it with a new head coach. I mean, look, I remember in Denver, Josh McDaniels had come in. The team had Jay Cutler, but Josh McDaniels wanted Matt Castle, right? So he was orchestrating a deal to bring Matt Castle to the Broncos, and Jay Cutler got really ticked off about it and didn't like it. And then Cutler went to the Bears, and they got Kyle Orton, and they didn't get Matt Castle. But that's what happens when a new coach comes in. You can't just give him the roster from a previous guy's team and go, here, make magic out of this. Yeah, of course there's contracts and there's, you know, if you cut a guy, there's dead money and all that other, all this stuff to consider. But if you can bring in the quarterback that you really want, there's no reason to worry about, well, we did take this guy with the 10th overall pick last year. He is a first round selection. You know, we better make this work. No, they didn't bring you here because you were the last man standing. They brought you here because they like what your mind is when it comes to offensive football. Pick the guy that helps you achieve that better than anybody else. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think this is sellable if he wants to do it. Now, listen, he's saying all the right things, which I don't really blame him. Look, you know, he's not, he can't, he cannot just go, you know, oh, he can't just publicly go out there and say, oh yeah, you know, we want to go with another quarterback. He's got to play the company line for a while to do this. But let me ask you this. Could Kyler Murray be a number one pick with anybody else other than Cliff Kingsbury? If I needed a quarterback and I had the number one pick and I'm not Cliff Kingsbury, do I go with Drew Locke? Do I go with some other, you know, some of the other quarterbacks in the draft? Or do I think Kyler Murray is the guy that I really want, the more exciting quarterback that I want? It's a tough one.
It is.
Like if the Denver Broncos had the number one pick, the Denver Broncos want a quarterback. They're in love with Drew Locke. They're in love with Drew Locke. But let's say they had the number one pick and now Kyler Murray is on the board, right? Kyler Murray is available. Does Elway go, well, Drew Locke's out the window now. We got to go with Kyler. Right? Or do you
John should go that way. I mean, you know, it's a baseball player turning to football. That's John all the way.
Right.
That's John's M.O.
Yeah, that's right. That was John's M.O., right? I'll just go to the Yankees. Okay. Sure you will. That was John's M.O. But I don't see Kyler Murray as the, okay, now, you know, oh, God, he's a game changer, right? Oh, God, now readjust the draft now. He's going number one. The only reason that you're putting him number one is because of the Cliff Kingsbury connection.
Well,
right?
That,
the fact that he likes him.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I feel like Cliff Kingsbury got, you know, maybe he got burned back in college days.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he was trying to draft him really hard, and you know, I mean, I have no idea. I don't know if Texas Tech was even on Kyler Murray's radar back at that time. Or if the timelines don't even match up. But that's what I kind of feel like, that there was a chance somewhere somehow, and Cliff got burned and was like, oh, well, now I can get him.
Here's another thing I'm not even considering. What if Cliff Kingsbury was just being nice at the time he was saying those things? Like, well, I'm not going to really draft Kyler Murray number one. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm just being nice. I was just commenting on him. He was a good player.
It was just my way to, you know, put one over MLB.
At the time, I was, you know.
Not a big A's fan. Didn't want him to play there.
Exactly. I was just throwing something out there, just trying to be nice. You guys are blowing this way out of proportion. So, I don't know. This allows some interesting situations on draft day. Kingsbury is into this.
What's going to happen? I mean, you know, we'll just keep talking about it. We'll keep going back and forth about it. And then when the combine happens and Kyler Murray just kills it at the combine, right?
Because
that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's 5'9". He measured at 5'9¾". Well, that makes a big difference. You know?
Yeah, right. You know, like, you remember, Tim Tebow had a great combine in terms of the interviews. Like, he was just,
of course,
blowing people away.
Tebow. That's when Saint Tebow.
that's when I was telling people, I said, I think somebody's going to take a first round chance on him. Like, I think he's going to, because sometimes you get these combines where people are like, man, this is unbelievable. Just this work ethic and all that stuff. So here's what Kingsbury said. Okay, let's give you the exact quote. Our feelings towards Josh haven't waned or changed or anything. I get we have the first pick, the upcoming draft. And so there's going to be a million scenarios over the next 3 months that are going to come up, but no, Josh is our guy. Okay, but we know that can change. I mean, we know that can change.
Yeah, of course. So, because, I mean, again, you have a brand new quarterback who didn't select Josh Rosen, or I mean, a brand new coach who didn't select Josh Rosen.
Right. Right.
And that's where I think it kind of falls into place is that, you know, I didn't make the selection. This isn't my guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's to steal John Gruden's line. He's not my guy.
But remember, when Kingsbury made the comments, it was when he was still the head coach. He hadn't been fired yet from being the head coach. He had no idea he was going to be the head coach at Arizona and that Arizona was going to have the number one pick.
Oh, he
so
knew.
When he said that, well, what? Yeah, exactly. Well, he looked ahead, right? He was like a, you know,
he went to the
October,
magic eight could, ball. The magic eight ball told him.
He could see it all. He knew it all. So give him credit, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
I can't wait for the draft. It's in Nashville this year, so it's in my hometown. I can't wait. The only thing that I kind of am not looking forward to is I think the Thursday night draft, while I don't blame the NFL for making it a spectacle, they should. It's the fans love it. It is a little overdone, though, don't you think? The red carpet thing and all that stuff. It's a little overdone.
That's kind of fun,
but to me, I remember when they announced that they were going to do this Thursday night round one thing, and I remember going, "This is going to." I hated the idea, and then when I watched it the first year they did it, I was like, "Oh no, I like this idea. This is actually really good." I thought it would kind of be a bust, but I thought, no, this is really cool. I dig it.
You just have round one, that's it, no more, no less.
That's
it. And that's, you know, it is a red carpet affair.
I mean,
the red carpet is a little over the top. I mean, basically, what are these guys getting? They're getting a job.
Yeah, they're getting a job.
What we're watching is just watching people being selected to work.
Yep.
And we cannot get enough of it.
So Kyler Murray, look at the draft order. And if you're, okay, for, you know, whatever, Kyler Murray is what we're just talking about right now, but it could be anybody, it could be any quarterback. Arizona has got Josh Rosen, right? But if Kingsbury likes Murray better, they'll trade him. They're not trading Jimmy Garoppolo out of San Francisco. That's the number two pick. Sam Darnold is with the Jets. He could go to the Raiders because there's this Derek Carr, John Gruden thing that continues to pop up in the rumor mill. Jameis Winston is with the Buccaneers. They made the commitment to him, so they're not going to go with a quarterback. The Giants are definitely going to figure out a quarterback situation, so they might be in the running. Jacksonville, same boat. Lions, no. Bills, probably. Broncos, probably. I mean, you got some teams that are looking at their quarterback situation going into next year, and so I don't think Murray gets out of the top 10.
No,
he's going to get swallowed up quickly. When they talk about the Dolphins at 13, I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be available that far down. Unless he's look, there might be better needs. Like when we finally really dig into the draft and we really analyze the team's needs, you know, maybe Jacksonville is like, we got this player is still on the board. We're taking him. But I don't know if Kyler Murray gets out of the top 10. So that's just the way. That's the way I'm kind of looking at it.
No, I don't see it either. I mean, you have someone who is skilled at that position. I mean, yeah, you know, we're going to knock his height so much, and that's going to get so annoying. That'll probably be the number one pet peeve we have come mid-March. Like, we're going to get off his height, guys.
Wait till the combine when they finally do the official measurements. And then he's officially whatever he is.
Oh, you know what the best part will be? Because you know he's 5'9". You know his hand size is going to be small.
Of course.
You know, and that makes all the difference in the world. It's like, oh, it's only 8 inches. I'm like, That's a decent-sized hand, right? I mean, he can still throw the football. He proved it.
So
let's see. Is he using deflated balls? I don't think so.
You know who should probably be the number one pick, though? Because I totally forgot. I forgot about it until I looked up a couple of mock drafts. Is Nick Bosa. Like, why? Nick Bosa.
But again, it's we say, like, okay, this is the best overall player. But is it what the team needs?
Yeah, that's the question all the time, right?
Or, you know, what that coach has a vision of. I mean, right. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he likes Kyler Murray. I mean, comments he made a while back. Yes, he's committed to Josh Rosen. So maybe he's saying, like, no, I'm going to go after Nick Bosa. I've seen what his brother Joey does.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa's already made a name for himself. I mean, Joey Bosa missed, like, the first six or seven games this year.
And there are more problems with Arizona than just offense.
Oh, yeah.
They were a mess both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they really were.
they
totally fell off the ball. I think for them that what they really need to do is they need to shore up that offensive line.
The question is going to be, again, when you look at Kyler Murray, Drew Locke, Dwayne Haskins, am I missing one, Daniel Jones, the kid from Duke. That's good, right?
Yeah, no Dukes.
Yeah, no.
Duke's blackballed.
When you talk about, like, it's gonna be like you when you're evaluating quarterbacks, right? You can't get caught up in super hype. You've got to make your decisions. What makes Baker Mayfield such a more intriguing story to me was it was actually shocking that he was the number one overall pick. People were like, "Wait, okay. The Browns went that way, huh? Okay, they took Baker Mayfield." And then when you add the fact that he had a really great rookie season and he comes with some moxie, he comes with some confidence, now you could start, you see it better. Like the vision of that pick is better. But remember, on that April night, that was kind of shocking. That was kind of a shocking selection. But in this case, Kyler Murray may wow at the combine because, you know, that's probably what he's going to do. Because, you know, that's kind of the player he is. But let's say you're the Giants. Maybe Dwayne Haskins is a better fit for what you want to do than a short quarterback that may have a problem with you. Well, you may have a problem with that. Drew Locke might be the better pick for John Elway and the Broncos than Kyler Murray. I think the Broncos are locked into Locke, no pun intended, than any pick that we've got in the top 10. I mean, I think the Broncos need a quarterback badly. They want to groom another one. And Elway can't fail on that. Like, he cannot make a mistake and fail on the quarterback. And I think Drew Locke to him is one of the talented guys that he can almost say he's got it.
But weren't they that way with Paxton Lynch?
See, that's the problem. But Paxton Lynch, they got late. I mean, they got late down.
But I seem to remember it being a lock. Like they were zoned in on him the entire time.
Yeah, I liked Paxton Lynch too because he played out of Memphis. So I saw him a couple of times. I liked him too, but I didn't think he was going to be bust. He was going to be bust out that badly. Look, no, there's no question. Listen, Elway's walked down this trail too many times to have anybody really fully confident in his ability to fill this position right. All right? I mean, the only thing John Elway has done from the quarterback situation since he's got the job in 2010 is he convinced Peyton Manning to play for Denver when the Titans offered him the world. When it looked like he was going to go to the Titans, and living in Nashville, there was a report, erroneous, that the Titans had a press conference and were going to announce Peyton Manning was going to come to them. But Elway did his thing, did the right thing in the convincing of, hey, Peyton, this is what we're building here. You might be better off here. And I know how to win late. I won late. You're going to win late. This is how we're going to do it. That's the only thing he did. But the reality of it is, he wasn't a genius because he took a chance on Peyton Manning with a busted neck. There were plenty of teams that were willing to take a chance on Manning with a busted neck. But he failed on Osweiler, who he was going to offer a boatload of money to. Remember, just Houston offered more. Trevor Siemian. The one thing that angered me the most was because Elway's Elway, Trevor Siemian would throw a completion down the field, and the analysis was always, man, John knows his quarterback. Look at this kid. He's something special. And I'd be like, what do you mean he's something special? This is unbelievable. The fawning over Elway because Trevor Siemian completed an 18-yard out route. Come on. Cut this out. And then he failed on Paxton Lynch, right? I mean, it's one after the Case Keenum is a bust. right? So you're right. If I'm a Bronco fan, I'm not looking at Drew Locke as a sure-fired NFL superstar. Give me 3 years, he'll probably be on his way out too, right? I mean, but he loves him, and you know, so you give him the benefit of. I'll tell you right now that if I'm Elway, I don't go near Kyler Murray because Kyler Murray is so risky. Like, he's almost a gamble. Not really a gamble, but you know what I mean? Like, here's the deal. Elway cannot take even the slightest chance at this position. So if height is an issue, and it may not be, if height's an issue, he's not going to do it. You guys think John Elway could, he's not. He's John Elway in Denver is always going to be the king of the city, always going to be the two-time Super Bowl champion, always going to be, you know, the guy, the best athlete in it, you know, from that city.
From Denver.
But his,
Colorado.
In Colorado. But his tenure at the helm of the Broncos is being challenged. It's like, I don't know, it's like if Wolfgang Puck could not make a sandwich, right? But he could make everything else really, really good. But his sandwiches were just terrible, right? You'd be like, Wolfgang, your pizzas are delicious and your everything, your pasta is fantastic, but the sandwich is just missing something. Yeah, I mean, that's Elway.
Like, why do you keep going back to Wonder Bread?
Yeah, just cut it out. Could you just add a little bit more mayonnaise? It would just be better. Too much oil and vinegar. Like, Elway, the people in Denver look at Elway as like, I'll never, ever dislike him for what he's done. Never. I'll never turn on him. But this is not something he's doing good. Like, he's not doing this well. Like, we need a guy that can evaluate this position well. And sometimes, just because you played the position, it doesn't mean you're an expert at that in terms of evaluating right. talent. You bring in a different set of eyes than somebody else would, another scout would. You compare him to you. You compare him to what you did. You compare him to what you see, how you evaluate stuff. And that's not really advantageous a lot.
If I'm Elway, I would say, you know, I would go to Kubiak. And say, dude, here, listen, help me bring someone in.
Yeah, well, they tried that. I know. Kubiak went, bye, I'm leaving.
Yeah, he didn't want his neck on the line.
Yeah, exactly. So they got Rick Scangarello, who's supposed to pick, you know, he's the quarterback coach of the Niners, who, you know, he coached what was the kid's name we liked for the 49ers last year? Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins. I was about to say Nate Mullins.
How soon did we forget the name of the kid we liked last year?
They should bring him in.
From Southern Miss. I actually brought that up at the Super Bowl to a friend of mine who covers the Broncos. We were chatting off to the side. I said, hey, what about Nick Mullins? And he goes, no. I go, come on. What's wrong with Nick Mullins?
Just writing him off. Come on, man.
Don't write him off.
He was brilliant.
He was... That game against the Raiders, he lit them up.
Exactly.
That was great. Oh, fantastic. Can't wait to see the draft in April. I can't wait. I can't wait to get there. Can't get there fast enough. All right, it's SB Nation Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Kersman. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. With the crazy weather we've had lately, many of you are replacing damaged vehicles. Since a new truck costs as much as a college education, a used one might have to do. Let me give you some tips on getting a good one. First of all, it's always best to buy it from a reputable dealer. Now, if that's not an option, find a vehicle you like and then get it checked out by a shop that knows what to look for. This may cost a few bucks, but it can save you thousands in the long run. If the seller doesn't want you to get it checked out before you buy it, then walk away. Beware of anybody flipping cars without being a dealer because it may keep you from coming back on them later. If the vehicle you're looking at has a salvage title, you don't want it at any price. There are no exceptions. The best guideline when looking at a used vehicle, if it seems too good to be true, it is. Mike Hersman, Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's the new letstalkwheels.com.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand at Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Ron, on this date in 1974, Happy Days debuted on television.
Nice.
This is a show that when I see it like on TV Land or some, like I watch it. I still watch it. It was a really good show. Was Fonzie like what was Fonzie? Like was he like a drifter? Like he lived above the Cunninghams' house. But what like, and he was a mechanic, but he was always dating high school girls. Was he the creepy older guy that dated the high school girls?
Was he Matthew McConaughey before Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah. Well, was he supposed to be in school? Like, that's right. It was a Gary Marshall production. Spun off Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley. I think it was the only two things they really spun
Joni
off.
Loves Chachi.
Oh, Joni Loves Chachi. How could I forget that?
Come on now.
That's right. That's right. And this is where you get the term jump the shark.
Yep.
When you hear that term, and it can be anything. It's movies, sports, movies, whatever. When you hear the term something jumped the shark,
whenever a TV
Happy
show
Days originated
movie.
That.
Yeah, it's whenever they yep. are trying to grasp something that maybe it's dying out. And they're trying to yep. make that last ditch effort. And so you jump the shark.
That's right. And the reason they came up with it is because Fonzie actually jumped sharks. He was water skiing, and he literally jumped sharks. And that's why it's called Jump the Shark.
Yep.
There used to be a website, I don't know if it's still around, called jumptheshark.com, where they chronicled television shows as to what moment did that show jump the shark. So if you had a long-running show like Walking Dead, they would say, oh, this is the moment where it jumped the shark. Or Smallville or something like that. They would say, this is when it jumped the shark. But Ron Howard was on it, Anson Williams, Henry Winkler. It was a good show. 1974 on this date. Happy Days premiered.
Happy Days.
There you go. Happy Days. Hey. I always wanted to be Fonzie. He always got the pretty girls. Always liked Fonzie. He would snap their fingers and they would go to him.
And he snapped his fingers and music played. Always.
Yeah. I snap my fingers now. Nobody looks at me. Everybody just leave me alone.